One, two, three. Welcome to Three Song Stories. This is the podcast that forces our guests to pick just three songs that help tell the story of their lives because of the memories they contain, so we can get to know them better. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. Our guest today is Joshua Johnson, a name most public radio listeners are probably quite familiar with by now. Joshua is host of The Daily Show 1A that's produced out of WAMU in Washington, D.C. and distributed by NPR. He was born and raised across the state in West Palm Beach, the only son of a public school teacher and Vietnam veteran. His Wikipedia entry says he became interested in journalism as a kid and was inspired by African-American journalists like Ed Bradley, Bernard Shaw, and Dwight Lauderdale. He graduated from the University of Miami and got his start in public radio there in Miami, working for a collaborative project between WLRN and the Miami Herald from 2004 to 2010. After a stint as morning newscaster at KQED out in San Francisco, he hosted the radio series Truth Be Told, which dealt with issues of race in America. Its four episodes were broadcast nationally. He also taught courses in podcasting at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. In September 2016, he guest-hosted the Diane Rehm Show for 2 days, and then in November, she announced he would be taking over her time slot, and 1A premiered at the beginning of 2017, and we've been carrying it here on WGCU ever since. While Diane Rehm had big shoes to fill, to say the least, at this point, I think it's safe to say that Joshua Johnson is walking tall in them now, and we are so, so honored that he agreed to do our little show. Hey there, Joshua Johnson. How's it going?
Mike, thanks very much. Glad to be here.
Did you really not know you had a Wikipedia entry?
I don't think about that kind of stuff. I'm sure I do. I maybe should have crossed my mind at some point to check it and make sure it's right, but everything I heard in the intro was correct.
Well, so, then whoever wrote that out there in the world, they got it right.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Have you been to Fort Myers before?
Years ago. I'm sure I've passed through as a little kid at some point. I'm from West Palm Beach, and so we have traveled all over the state because we have
family
in Tampa,
but you never
Orlando,
came here for shows, or I guess we go there for shows is
yeah,
what
it, not really.
Works.
Not that much.
Okay. What was the musical background of your childhood over there?
Gospel, jazz, R&B. I was born in 1980, so I'm about the same age as hip-hop. So all the, like, early rap and hip-hop music back in the days of Yo! MTV Raps with Fab Five Freddy. That was my soundtrack growing up. All the, you know, pop music of the 80s and 90s, everything that was early MTV,
mm-hmm.
That was my
You were
upbringing.
The sweet spot for that early MTV.
Probably. I really was. Early MTV, all the artists that came on the Arsenio Hall show from the late 80s to the early 90s, those were in my playlist. Lots of different kinds of music. And also, you know, theater, because I was always a performing arts kid.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get
soul
into that.
Music. My mother had, you know, crates and crates of LPs, so yeah. I got Songs in the Key of Life on LP. So I got a little bit of everything.
So that was going to be my next question is that you had your music, but what was your parents' music? What was the music they had in their collection that you maybe peeked into?
A lot of overlap. It was a lot of, you know, jazz and R&B and funk and soul music. My grandmother loves Mahalia Jackson, and we listen to a lot of gospel. We listen to a lot of community radio stations in and around West Palm Beach, particularly black-owned stations that would play a lot of the latest, like, hip-hop and R&B and rap music, that would do community talk shows, or that would do, you know, gospel music every morning from 8 to noon before they switched to, like, reggae music. So we heard, like, everything within, you know, the black diaspora of music. And then I got everything that was in pop culture that was coming up thanks to, you know, MTV, VH1, BET being on the rise.
Gotcha. What's the earliest musical memory you can find if you try to dig back to your young childhood?
Did my psychologist send you? This is a very big question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that one. The earliest musical memory. Oh, gosh.
And if
really
you can't remember it, then you don't have that memory.
Well, or do I have it and it's just locked away somewhere?
That's where we're at with this show, Joshua Johnson.
For reasons that remain unclear. See, my therapist did send you and tell you to ask me this.
You're not the first person who said that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, other than, like, singing along with silly songs in elementary school, you know, I think it was the music that I heard on TV, like hearing, you know, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, or Walk This Way by Run DMC, or, like, that first round of music videos that actually became big hits because they weren't just on the radio, they were on mainstream television. Granted, MTV was not mainstream television when it debuted in 1981, but it was something that the mainstream couldn't ignore. And the fact that it was not on Johnny Carson, but it was on MTV, mm-hmm. made waves. Hmm. And everybody's kids were listening, but their parents refused. You know, mm-hmm. Beastie Boys, You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party was one of these things that you would, you know, you'd see Dan Rather do a report about the latest wave in hip-hop music has parents across the country very concerned. What is this new music and what will it mean for your children? We have a report now from CBS correspondent. And that's how it kind of made waves as this threat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Dee Snider and Twisted Sister uh-huh. singing, "We're not gonna..."
Yeah, that was one of my first tapes.
Right. And but it was kind of the fact that this was music your parents did not listen to that made it something people paid attention to. I grew up at a time when it was just the music. I mean, right. asking someone my age, like, do you listen to hip hop, is like asking, does your body require oxygen to live?
Right,
it just
right.
was. It just was.
Was there any dissonance in your household between your parents and you because of that, what you just described?
Not.
Sounds like they may have been sort of cool with what you were wanting to listen to.
We were kind of on the same page. I don't recall there being much discord about music, except for like the really dirty stuff, like when 2 Live Crew hit the scene. And
right.
2 Live Crew's
from
Miami.
And that was kind of the epicenter over there, yeah, yeah.
Exactly, because we're from West Palm Beach, or we lived in West Palm Beach. They were right down the road in Miami. 2 Live Crew was the dirtiest. Remember when 2 Live Crew was the dirtiest thing in all of music?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like a generations ago. But yeah, other than something that was that far over the line, we were pretty much on the same page.
We had a guest on this show maybe 25, 30 episodes ago, a local guy named Anderson.
First name. Justin Anderson.
Justin Anderson. Thank you, Richard. Whose dad was Judge Isaac Anderson, who was the judge who presided over the ruling against 2 Live Crew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Small world.
Very small.
Music being played on instruments, where did that fit into your early world?
I had piano lessons as a kid. I was not good, nor was I patient. So that didn't last very long, which I think became a theme in my career, because at one point I was in college as a motion pictures major.
Oh, okay.
And I was okay at making movies on film, but they took too long to make. And so I was like, broadcasting. Broadcasting is instantaneous.
Yeah,
I'm going to go back to my love of broadcasting. And so that became my degree instead of motion pictures. But I always had a musical education. I sang in the church choir growing up. I sang in a multicultural youth choir, like a community choir when I was little. I sang around the house. I sang on stage. So, you know, I was always musical. I was a vocalist. I wasn't an instrumentalist.
You didn't want to have to put the time in.
Well, I didn't mind putting the time in vocally.
Right,
it's just
right.
instrumental. I didn't have the affinity for it, but I played around with piano. I played around with guitar. I had to know a little piano in college because I sang jazz in college for about a year and a half. And so that's how you practiced. You went into a piano practice room and you kind of plunked out the notes and learned your part of the arrangement. So I know enough to get around. I can read sheet music. I can kind of sight read.
Okay.
But, you know, I was never... You know, I was never talented enough to pick up a piece of music and like run with it the way that a musician,
yeah.
capital M musician, could do.
So you sang jazz in college?
I did. I was part of the Jazz Vocal Ensemble 2. There were 3. JV1 was for like the jazz majors. I was in JV2, which was for people who were or were not jazz majors but who could sing. And I did that at the University of Miami while I was doing my degree in my other stuff. I had taken enough IB and AP courses that I could skip taking English, Spanish, or history in college. So that gave me room for electives. And one of the electives I wanted was jazz. One was musical theater. So I did that in college. But because I was a broadcasting student, I had to put more energy into producing work in the School of Communication, so I could only ever be on the technical crew of the musicals.
Oh.
I know every lyric to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. I never got to play Pseudolus, so it was kind of like, okay, fine, I'll let you be the star this time. I'll get my chance later.
Was music or performing part of your like elementary, middle, or high school experience, or was that just only once you got to University of Miami?
Recitals in elementary school, you know, the Easter and the Christmas Day event in church. middle school, kind of. I went to a performing arts middle school in Palm Beach County, okay. What is now the Bach Middle School of the Arts and the Dreyfus School of the Arts, the middle and the high school. I was there when it was all one campus, and the campus was like my neighborhood. So it was my neighborhood school.
Oh, wow.
And so when you got in seventh grade, you had to do kind of 9 weeks of all the other four art areas other than your own. So I did some music and I did some theater and I was a communication student even then. So I got to do a little bit of everything then.
Sounds like you got a lot of musical and performance and art layers in there, Joshua Johnson.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I got a lot of music. I got a lot of art. I got a lot of math and science because I was involved with a group called SECME, which is geared toward students of color who are interested in careers in science and engineering. So I was part of that. I was always active in the community, so I was part of community groups. My mother was a school librarian, and she always did a display for Black History Month about Black inventors. So I always had that in my background. So I got a very eclectic kind of Renaissance man education from a really young age on purpose. My family wanted to make sure I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of things so that kind of regardless of where life took me, I wouldn't be afraid of something that was new or that was different.
Gotcha. Do you remember the first music you owned was?
I don't. I remember having a bunch of cassettes that were like from the family. I think the first CD I actually bought was Simple Pleasures by Bobby McFerrin, which is the CD that Don't Worry, Be Happy is on.
Right, right.
Because I was so kind of dumbfounded by the fact that he could do that thing with his voice. Uh-huh. And he really can. If you ever see him live in concert, he does all of that. That I was like, I think I'm going to buy that. And I bought the CD. It wasn't because that was the kind of music that I centered around, but the video was funny. You know, mm-hmm. It had Robin Williams and Bobby McFerrin and one other performer in it. And I just was like, okay, I'm going to buy that one. And listening to that album kind of gave me a sense of all the intricacy that you can do with music and how kind of you can play around on different motifs and the different feels and styles. And, you know, it appealed to the part of my brain that likes to take things apart mm-hmm. and see how they work mm-hmm. and then put them back together. So when I encounter it again, I don't just see it as a whole. I see it as a sum of parts that makes sense in a different way. And that album kind of appealed to me in that way.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Mixtapes.
I didn't make a lot of mixtapes. I had some mixtapes that came from others. I don't remember making a lot of mixtapes until digital music, until like
so
Napster allowed
CDs.
Me to make playlists.
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember, you know, being at radio stations in the community, either that I was volunteering at or that, you know, I was on a teen talk panel or whatever, and kind of watching the way they put music together or the way they would go from a song to another song to a host break to underwrite or to a commercial spot to, you know, a call from a listener to to hitting the legal ID at the top of the hour and then into another, like what song makes sense at the top of the hour as opposed to later on, kind of the mood of the way you structure an hour. So the way that I thought of it was always through the lens of radio and television because that was my fascination. I've always been fascinated with broadcasting since I was probably 5, which is as far back as I can like consciously, logically remember. So for me, music existed in the context of radio and television more than in the context of just albums and CDs. I had a big, you know, most big Discman cases of 20 CDs you could carry around. But that was kind of like, what do I feel like listening to today as opposed to how do I understand music?
Well, we'll get into that nexus between music and media and broadcasting. But let's get to your first song right now. What is it? Why is it? What is the story? How do you want to tee this up?
It is the song that I sang at my mother's wedding in 2005 when she got married to my now stepdad, Theo Harris. And I picked it because it was a song I thought was a good reflection of them, two people who had known each other since I was a little kid and waited until the right time to finally, you know, declare their love for one another and marry. They are still together. And this is Ordinary People by John Legend.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. This is Ordinary People, John Legend. And this is from his 2004 album, Get Lifted. Thank you.
I'm in love with you. This ain't the honeymoon, past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love, at times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved and you've made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. Take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no. No fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we head back.
Hello, WGCU listeners. This is Richard Chinqui, the producer and co-creator of Three Song Stories. And if you're hearing this, it means you're listening on the website, and that's great. But we are not going to give away the whole show, because Joshua Johnson's episode does not actually come out for another 4 or 5 weeks. So if you want to hear the rest of it, then go ahead and go over to threesongstories.org, and you can check in each Friday morning. New episodes come out, or wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and what have you. You can subscribe there, and when the new episode comes out, you'll see that every Friday, and Joshua Johnson's, again, should be up in just a few weeks. Thanks, and keep listening.